Meet Jeff Bratton. Jeff is director of multiple listing service for the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, having joined the Southwest Florida MLS in March. Today on the podcast, he talks about his background in real estate in the southwestern U.S. and his vision for the local MLS. You can listen in on that conversation beginning right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville. I'm coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today with Jerry Johnson. Jerry, how are you?
Hi, Jim. Good morning. I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you today?
Good. What you been up to lately? You been out in the boat, out in the golf course? What have you been up to?
Oh, actually, I was on the golf course recently at our big Realtor golf tournament.
Yeah?
So which you had an amazing turnout.
You didn't play, did you?
I did not. I played cameraman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I took quite a lot of photos.
There were a lot of shots. You took a lot of shots, many more than some of the golfers, right?
Yeah.
What's your handicap for shooting with a camera?
I don't even know how you would respond to that, Jim.
Yeah, nobody knows.
But all those photos can be found on our Facebook page in the gallery we recently put up.
I saw them. There's like 150 of them.
Well, that's a lot.
No, maybe more than that. But anyway, if you are into golf and you want to see perhaps yourself or your friends out in the golf course here in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, we have them on our Facebook page with the Realtor Association. But I do want to tell you that this show is about real estate. If you are a new listener, that's what we talk about here. And we talk about things that realtors care about, home buyers, home sellers. If you live in a home, you're probably going to care about some of the stuff we talk about. Jerry, you live in a home?
I do. Yeah, you would call it a home. I would think so. Yeah,
okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Hole in the ground, but you know.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we have a great guest today. Speaking of real estate, this is Mr. Real Estate, as far as I'm concerned. This is a man who knows all about the MLS, the Multiple Listing Service, and his name is Jeff Bratton. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here.
We are thrilled to have you. Jeff is the new Director of Multiple Listing Service here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers. He started here, what, February?
Around March 1st.
March 1st, yeah. Okay. And you came from the Greater Albuquerque Association of Realtors, where you worked for several years, and you've also worked out in El Paso, and I want to hear all about it. First of all, tell me where you're from originally, Jeff.
Originally, family was in the military. We moved around a lot, so I was born in the Gulf States.
Oh.
Lived in Mobile, Corpus, Alaska. Oh,
you don't mean the Gulf States like Bahrain or Dubai?
No, I mean our own Gulf States.
Not the Emirates. Okay.
Yeah, so I've been around Alabama, Texas. We were stationed in Alaska and California. So I've been all over.
Oh, okay.
Family settled in great old Albuquerque, where I finished up school and college.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. What did you study in college?
Let's see. I trouble finding my career path. One day I decided I want to work for the U.S. Census Office, so I geared my degree toward sociology and pre-law.
Interesting. So you would consider Albuquerque your kind of default home, your hometown?
I finished high school there. Yeah. A lot of the great memories, you know, growing up, youth, and then college. So I do have some roots back in that state.
Yeah. Did you ever heard of a TV show called Breaking Bad?
We've heard about it a little bit. When that came out, I think what I liked about it most was it was different from a lot of shows, because they would reference street names and locations just like everybody would know. But if you're watching it from Connecticut or Washington State, you just kind of had to follow along. And I think a lot of shows now started to copy that and make it more hyper-local, some of their conversations in the script writing. So, good show.
So, it was authentic. The street names were real. They weren't making them up.
They only changed the names. Everything else had a real flavor for it. So, it really struck home.
Yeah, it looks like a cool place. I've never been to New Mexico at all. It's a land of enchantment, isn't it?
It's a land of enchantment, and some would say it's a land of entrapment, where it's hard to leave when you want to go.
Well, we're glad we were able to extract you from the deserts of the Southwest here to Southwest Florida. So tell me about your career in real estate. How did you happen to get into the business?
I kind of stumbled upon it. I don't really have a strong sales background and had a general understanding what a realtor did. And working in the call centers after college, did a lot of, you know, working on these call center floors doing tech support back before everything went virtual. Just happened to stumble upon an ad in a newspaper, join a local MLS.
Huh.
It kind of opened me up to this world of the realtor associations and working with multiple listings, and then started to learn there's one in every metro city.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they actually talk and work together, although a lot of it is, you know, it's our business, it's our city, we do it our way.
Sure. So every place has their own unique personality and flavor. So you've always been on the administrative side of the business, never been a realtor selling homes, right?
No, but about half, probably 8 years into working at MLS and association, opportunity to move out of state. And so I did get licensed briefly for about a year and a half. And curiosity mainly was to learn and use those tools and products that I had been promoting and using for years to try to land my own business.
Gotcha.
So I got to put myself in the shoes of a new realtor, what they go through. It's incredibly challenging, some sacrifices you have to make. I think I found a good role in looking at documents. I was a transaction coordinator, just found my calling, and that let me, you know, work on closings, work with contractors and inspectors, and trying to keep this closing smooth, and learned a lot of valuable things. I only had one sale personally, but I felt I offered a lot to the brokerage I was at.
But if the house costs $20 million, that's all you need.
Right, yeah.
I won't ask you what the value of that one was. But we're glad you found your calling. And so it sounds like you're very comfortable with dealing with details, multiple deadlines, and all the stuff that they ask you about for every job anyone has ever applied for, right? You do that stuff.
Yeah, I actually prefer to work on sometimes having a deadline and pressure. I'm quite used to it now. So, mm-hmm.
Describe for me, if you would, Jeff, even if you wouldn't, please do this. Describe for me your role here as director of MLS.
Thanks. Great question. I got some good shoes to fill and opportunity here. Essentially, I've nearly doubled our membership size from Albuquerque to here to Royal Palm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great history of some great things that have been made. That gives me a lot to work with, involving, you know, Cape Coral and Fort Myers working together. There's been former names that we've had, the alliance that we have with Bonita, Estero, and Naples. It's a great opportunity to secure our foothold in the future together as a group.
Have you been in the job long enough to develop a vision for what you would like to see this MLS become or how it might improve?
I have some inklings of a vision, a lot of them tied into our current strategic plan and goals for the association, but I envision some sort of shift in the mindset of a lot of our agents, and it's going to take some time to get there through our promise to give them greater value, reinforcing the benefit of their tools, and ultimately professionalism and accuracy of information is key. And so getting every of our local agents and brokers on board with that mission is my personal vision to do.
Gotcha. How are things operated differently here? You talked about how each market has its own personality, but how is this market different from Albuquerque, for example?
One is the difference in the state regarding disclosure laws. New Mexico is a non-disclosure state. And so that does change the role in how the agents and the MLS can use the sold prices.
What does that mean, non-disclosure
state? If I'm in a non-disclosure state, when my property sells, the MLS cannot show that sales price on a public website.
Oh, really?
Where in Florida, you can. The other difference is with what I call the regionals you know, Albuquerque happened to be an island to itself, very far from another association or MLS where that overlap occurs. Sometimes in a market like Atlanta, you have huge overlap where two MLSs just overlap each other and you have to join both. And places like in the Bay Area area or in Southern California, you're going to run into this. And Florida is just known for having a lot of their own MLS associations. So there's a lot of regional going on. And that's one of the big differences is coming out. Albuquerque is kind of like your own island. There's probably, unless you really want to go and reach out across the state or beyond the region to form any kind of alliance or regional partnership, it's probably a lot different. They're here. You have regionals and you have neighboring MLSs any direction you go other than the ocean. So,
if some of the listeners are new to real estate, or if you're not a realtor, can you explain a little bit about the history of the MLS and what its mission is?
Certainly. The MLS kind of, they grew out of print shops days before the internet. They printed books. You probably, if you've been in the business long enough, or your parents or grandparents or uncles might have used these, but they had pretty much, a lot of them had their own print shops or contracted to print these books often every week. They had one picture, about 10 data fields and a price. And you'd have to wait next week for the next book to come out.
And what city did it start in? Was it Chicago?
I could be wrong. I'm going to have to say probably Northwest MLS, in the Seattle area. We're probably one of the first to start doing these books. But, you know, every city is going to have its own story on how they do that. Sure. Now, over the years, and we're talking probably, you know, turn of the 20th century, going back that far, as things progressed into like the 20s and 30s and into the 50s, NAR, the National Association, you know, started getting more aligned with MLS, and a lot of them became structured under that, probably more toward the 70s and 80s, where they actually had standardized rules to follow. And when it went digital, that was a big change during the .com. But one thing the MLS always is, whether it's a print book or an online database or a downloadable file, it's meant to be a marketplace for the other brokers to cooperate and provide a compensation for being part of that sale.
Now, I'm not sure if you were involved in the MLS before the internet became a thing, and, you know, sort of the mid-90s, but how, from your perspective, how has the internet and online life changed the way MLS works and is used?
Great question. I came on from the tail end of that before some big movers and changers came along. I think when I first started, BlackBerry was still commonly used. There were a lot of different choices. I'm still surprised that mobile phone battle kind of ended. It ended up with only being two primary choices for a phone type. But that kind of slowed down. But the growth of the internet really took off when large consumer companies, private companies started getting in the game with reaching the consumer, with one of the first one, the first big gold rush in this was with trying to build a bigger and better, faster website to get the consumer to come and look for homes. And that was a game changer, and it kind of, that industry kind of took off on its own, well far ahead of the MLSs to keep up with. And it took a long time to get unification amongst the industry and to get a better foothold and presence to know that when a consumer is looking, you know, they there's so many places they can go, and trying to, for the MLS and the association, to get their voice and make, you know, we have accurate information, you can come to us. But that was a big game changer, and lawsuits abound and during this technology with use of copyrighted information and photos and trademarked data. So a lot of court cases, a lot of policies had to go along, and that's what's nice about NAR is their legal team has been looking out for the industry and MLS to help us, give us guidance and shape policies that, whether in Houston or Chicago or Fort Myers, we some consistency with this, and better protections in place for our realtors. Mm-hmm.
With the MLS serving as more or less the official registry of houses for sale, for certainly for realtors, and so many associations like ours working hand in glove with the MLS as more or less a unified entity, even though they are separate entities, an association and the MLS. Are there competitors out there for listings?
Outside of the MLSs, there's probably some competition. They just don't have the full inventory. This could be one brokerage who, you know, cutting a different pathway, you know, wants to offer a different kind of service or free structure to their buyers or sellers that might try to get their attention. Sometimes they may only have their own office inventory to display.
So that limits them a great deal.
A little bit. But if it's a franchise or a large national company that can hit multiple markets, that can change the game considerably. And some startups have grown over the years into big players in the realm of home searching and online and getting those attention of the eyeballs of the consumer. So some have plowed their own path, but they're huge metros or states or national that have done this.
Now, I know you've already agreed to appear on another show with us at a later date about MLS compliance and why that should be important to realtors. But can you talk a little bit, just briefly, about that very topic? How are members of our association and the MLS bound by MLS rules, and why are they important? Just very briefly.
Sure. The MLS rules, based on our current structure, which is we're owned by the association, which is chartered by NAR, we do have to follow their rules. And those policies are in place, really embedded with the code of ethics, professionalism, duties to the public, to the fellow realtors, and things like not representing information. Mm-hmm. So those, our rules are written in that way to, the end result is that the data in there that is entered by the brokerage is seen by a lot of different eyeballs, and they, there's a lot of money invested. It's their most important decision for most people's lives to buy a house, and they don't want to find out that it has the wrong number of garages, or that it has the photos from the house down the street by accident, some key factor that's going to throw off their ability to buy this house.
Yeah.
The rules are there, and there's a lot of them, and it's one of my jobs to get this in a good bite-sized pieces, in a fun way to help them reinforce these rules.
Yeah, because we're all pushing in the same direction. The MLS interests are overlapping almost exclusively with those of realtors, but we all want to get there in the ethical way and the best way, ultimately for the consumer, the home buyer.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, Jeff. We will be right back with you after this very brief message.
Hi, I'm Vince Modarelli from Habitat for Humanity of Lee and Hendry Counties. You're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, this is Bob Wade, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
You buy insurance for your car and for your home. Why not for your business? Hi, I'm Kevin Besser, your Director of Public Policy. RPAC is the political arm of the Realtor Association, advocating for realtors and issues important for homeowners. In other words, insurance for your business. We need your help and support to protect your business and the rights of property owners. All it takes is $20 to insure your business and to protect the rights of homeowners. For more information or how to invest, please contact me at kevin@rpcra.org.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson.
I'm back.
Jerry, good to see you again.
Oh, thanks, Jim. It's always good to see you as well.
This guy is, it's so good to see him always, isn't it, Jeff? It
brings a smile to
every day.
Yeah.
Now, we all work together here at the association. That our team. Offices are very close together, so we see each other at the coffee pot and the water cooler from time to time.
We literally have a water cooler.
Yes, we hang up by the water cooler, talk about sports scores. Stuff like, I don't know.
No, we talk about how much we love our members.
That's mostly it. I'll give you that. Hey, Jeff, in this episode, we're getting to know you a little bit as the new director of MLS for RPCRA for the Southwest Florida area. And I want to dig down a little bit more so we can get to know you as a person. But before we do that, there's one question that's been burning. I got to ask you. Southwest Florida is unique. We all agree with that statement.
I agree.
Jerry and yes. Jeff?
Yeah, very unique. Yeah. Yeah,
unique overall. But how is it unique in terms of doing business with the MLS here versus other markets?
Great question. Some of the things I'm seeing, one of the ones was there's different ways to offer a compensation on a listing, whether it's a buyer broker, a transaction broker, or a non-MLS broker. That was one thing that was different. So that a little bit more responsibility the agent has to make sure they're clear what those mean and when they're offering it. Because depending on who you are representing the buyer, it could be a different outcome on whether you're a transaction broker or a buyer's agent. I think as far as the unique fields, really highlighted the unique great things about Fort Myers. Pickleball, I've never seen that as a promotional feature to market a home, but there are plenty of listings that will promote pickleball. And golf access, I kind of knew that was coming in a golf state, but it's really neat to be able to search and identify these types of features on a home. I'm so fascinated with golf access, I've actually started doing my own market statistics to kind of look at some trends on really how much does that golf access weigh a factor in a buyer's motivation to look for homes or and ultimately in the price value.
Yeah, it certainly is going to impact the value.
Big time.
Yeah, especially when you look at a city like Cape Coral, which is all about water access, canals, and golf access. There are landlocked canals, right, Jerry? You're a boater.
I am a boater, yes.
You've been all around Cape Canal. There are some areas where you can put your boat in, but you've got no place to go, right?
Usually there's a little lake or something like that, but yeah, there are some that there are canals and they do not go to the Gulf.
Yeah, so you're not going to go water skiing in these lakes or anything.
Yeah, maybe. I think you can, actually.
You can fish in them.
Yeah, it just depends.
I just learned that yesterday, because I've been learning a lot about Mount LaBelle. I think it's Hendry County. Mm-hmm. So if you follow the Caloosahatchee up, there's apparently a lock that closes at 5 o'clock. So
the Franklin Locks.
If you go out boating in the day and you don't make it back, I guess you just have to park your boat overnight and find something new.
I've gone through this so-called lock several times.
And you can take it all the way to
Okeechobee. Really?
No, I heard you can take a boat in a canal from or river all the way from Fort Myers to the Atlantic.
Maybe. I've never gone out to the other side.
Well, if there's a trailer involved, certainly.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I never came out the other side.
Interesting. But. No, so we get all kinds of water here. 400 miles of navigable canals in Cape Coral alone. More canals than Venice. I live on one. Jerry lives near one. Mm-hmm. And you're going to learn all about the access. So that's good stuff. People really, really want to know about whether they can get to the Gulf, especially if they have a sailboat with a tall mast. That can be a deal breaker. You get to a bridge. And, so you got to figure that out. Jeff, I don't know whether I warned you about the lightning round. Did I tell you about this? Yes?
I've heard stories.
You have heard stories about the lightning round. The lightning round is kind of a big deal around here, especially for Jerry.
Yeah, did you see how tired I was this morning, Jeff?
Barely keep his eyes open. Yeah. Jerry gets up on the shows, on the mornings when we have shows, drives up to North Fort Myers. He used to be in Lehigh Acres. Now he goes to North Fort Myers. There is a Supra box at a house at a secret location where we store the questions for the lightning round on official 3x5 game show host index cards. And Jerry has gotten them this morning.
He's up early. Wait for me to get the...
Yeah, please extract the game show host cards from the Supra box. Jerry's working it now. He's got it open.
There you go.
Got all the questions right here. Thank you, Jerry. 3, 2, 7. Okay, we got them all. Jeff, are you ready for the lightning round?
I am ready.
Here's what this is. If you don't know, we're looking to learn more about you as a person, Jeff Bratton, the man. And we're going to do that by asking you some questions, some personal questions here. They're not too personal, but we're looking for soundbite answers. Don't overthink it. Just blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
I am ready.
All right. Where would you live if not in Florida?
Where would I live? I would live in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, U.S. or British?
I don't have a passport, so U.S.
U.S.? Yeah, that's lovely. I've been there. Name one luxury item you couldn't live without.
Oh, wow. A luxury item I couldn't live without is probably going to... luxury item. My car.
Your car?
Yeah.
You do have a very nice car.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. What language would you most like to learn?
Esperanto.
Esperanto. Where do you learn Esperanto?
YouTube, if you can find an instructor. But self-taught, it's been told a universal language.
Ah, wow. I don't know that it's caught on universally, but there's been talk about this for 20, 30 or more years, right? Yeah, okay. Esperanto, interesting answer.
That's not a song by the Eagles?
No.
Desperanto.
Desperanto.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's not it. We're going to have to pay a fee now to EMI.
Have to delete that, Jim. Thanks.
Yeah, delete that, please. Now, Jeff, now tell me about some of your favorite things. Your favorite singer.
My favorite singer? Probably one of the Gibbs from the Bee Gees.
The Brothers Gibb.
But, yeah, when their voices are united together, it sounds better, but... we do have one left with us on Earth, so I think it's Barry or Maurice. I'm not sure, but
Barry. Yeah,
probably one of my greatest.
Yeah, he
singers.
Did the falsetto, like the Saturday night, the disco era, Bee Gees. He did all that falsetto stuff. Yeah, he is still around. Sadly, his brothers are gone. It's very sad. Your favorite food?
Favorite food, probably something in the Italian family.
Italian,
with Alfredo or marinara in it.
Yeah. Wow, I would have figured you for a Tex-Mex kind of guy.
No, I was implanted there out of my choice.
Okay, gotcha. What's your favorite sports team?
Sports team, probably going to be Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox is a winner here in Fort Myers, Florida.
Especially here.
Yes. What's your favorite movie, Jeff?
My favorite movie is going to be Citizen Kane.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
I had to write a paper on it in a college class, and I know more than I should about that movie, but it's perfect.
Okay, spoiler, Rosebud, well, never mind, that was. But changing the subject here, Jeff, socks with sandals, yes or no?
Yeah, I'm at that age, and I'm a father, and I'm not afraid to wear black socks with sandals shorts.
Full black socks. Are they knee-length, old-school basketball socks?
They're ankle socks.
Ankle socks. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well,
you know, this came up recently because I just run into this, that a lot of the youth athletes will wear socks, but they call them slides. So does that count as sandals?
Sure.
It doesn't go between the toes.
No, though, I know usually. What you mean. I know what you
shower
mean.
Shoes?
Not really. No. But they actually wear them, you know, the track between.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By Adidas or Nike or something.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, which celebrity have you been told you most resemble?
A couple of years ago, I probably could have got passed for a young Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, I can see that.
Yeah, I can almost see.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to grow into a Jeff Bridges, maybe.
More of a Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, with the gray now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to edit myself here and not tell you who I most resemble or who I've been told I most resemble. But I do have another question for you. Do you do any imitations, Jeff?
Do I do any imitations?
Let me ask you that again. Do you do any imitations,
yeah,
Jeff?
Yeah, I do a couple. Yeah.
All right, let's hear
he
one.
He just did a Jim Samuel.
In a world where one man asks weird questions.
And what's the name of that person?
That's the movie guy.
Nobody knows his name, but it's the movie. In a world.
I used to know his
and
name.
I can do a John Wayne, but he sounds from he's Australian.
Let's have it.
All right, well, I'm not even going to warm up. I'm just doing a cold John Wayne.
Throw it out there.
Where are you going to take those horses out in that field, boy? This is not our ranch.
I hear it. I hear the timbre, the tone, yeah, the intonations.
No, a 10-minute warm-up to do a good John Wayne, but that
very
was a horrible.
Good. All right. I hold in my hand, Jeff, the last lightning round question.
The last one.
The last one. You get one bucket list item. What is it?
One bucket list item. Like to do in my life?
Yes.
I think I'd like to scuba dive in Key West.
Jerry, you've done this.
Not in Key West, but in the Keys, yes.
In the Keys. Wow.
Absolutely.
Have you ever dived? Are you a diver?
No,
at all?
I'm working. I'm collecting the equipment I need to start scuba training. I almost have all of it, and then I'm going to go and get the training
certified?
I need. Yep.
Nice. Now, you don't do much of that in Arizona or
New Mexico,
rather.
Yeah. No, there is a diving. For some reason, it does have a diving cult to it. There was a place called the Blue Hole in southeast New Mexico. That it's very deep. And there's some caves down there.
Really?
So it's a good diving area, but you're landlocked.
Yeah. Who'd have thought? Huh. Okay. Very good. Hey, Jeff, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I know you are a busy guy. You're jumping from meeting to meeting all day long. So thank you for stopping by.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Now, if the folks want to get in touch with you, say hello, ask you a question, how do they do that?
Well, if they're happen to be in the Winkler office in Royal Palm, they can stop and say hello, or they can just email or call my extension.
All right, Jeff Bratton, Bratton. You can, and if you have MLS questions, I know the best email address is going to be MLS@rpcra.org. Correct?
That's it.
All right, cool. All right, Jerry, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Jim. Thank you for hosting the show.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure. I almost always show up when I do
these
shows.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, when you're here, you're here. That's great.
All right. I also want to thank Beata Jones. Beata is our CEO. She is very supportive of us, as well as are all of our friends here on the staff at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. And the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. And be sure to check out our social media content. If you're a listener out there, we've got a wonderful YouTube channel with lots of great content on it. So check that out and subscribe, like our videos. We would appreciate it. And we've got some of our past webinars up there, which are the classes in their entirety taught by some of the best real estate experts in Florida and beyond. So I'd invite you to go check those out. We will look forward to seeing you the next time here on the Royal Palmcast. In the meantime, this is Jim Sandville saying so long and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions,
email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.